Nuez.
The football sack.
Hello and welcome to the Football Sack, the Sack on Sunday podcast. My name's Michael Rochek. I'm filling in for the want-away striker, Matt G, who's otherwise indisposed today. And I've got across from me, as always, Supernova Pete Novakovsky.
On the decks yet again.
He's gone the switches, he's pressing buttons, and he's making this thing possible. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here as well.
Excellent. And we've also got Anne O'Dong here, who's from the Oz Women's Game and Beyond the 90. And we're going to talk a bit of W League with you, Anne.
Help me. They've kidnapped me.
She's here against
her
will.
No, I'm here. I'm here to have some fun, guys.
Awesome, awesome. So we're going to kick off straight away with the A-League news that's been happening around Australia. We had on Friday night the absolute avalanche of Brisbane Roar.
The Suncorp Massacre.
It's just predatory-like. It just, clubs will come up against Brisbane, not know how to do it. And we're going to get into that. It was a 7-1 result.
What do you do against Barcelona? Because once they get going, it is unbelievable. And I was sitting there thinking, surely they can't get any better. Surely they can't score anymore. And every goal just got better and better, and they scored more and more.
It was amazing. And you had Dario Vidicic opening the scoring for Adelaide, and in truth, they probably could have got two or three. And then Brisbane Roar just do what they do, and Bessart Brescia with a hat-trick in 6 minutes.
Fastest in A-League history, that was. And I saw a couple of tweets of people saying that they were slightly turned on by the way that Brisbane Ooh. Were playing. So a little bit sexy, though.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to point any fingers, but hey, if you're volunteering that, there you go. So, look, Brisbane Roar were absolutely insanely brilliant against Adelaide. There was nothing that they could do wrong. And the fact that their players were even slightly off their game, like the likes of Thomas Broich, who didn't really look as strong as he has in previous games, still is a class above, and their football is just that top level. It just proves what champions they are.
What is super frightening is the fact that Thomas Broich should be the cornerstone of all their attacks, because they lost Matt Mackay and they lost Kostas Barbarouses. But you know what? Players can just fit into that setup really easy. Bessart Brescia is kicking goals, quite literally four of them, and just knows how the system works straight away. Very impressive.
But do you know why players can sit into that system very well? It's because it's so simple.
Mm.
It's nothing fancy. It is just you work hard, off the ball movement, quick ball movement, get in there, and they come in waves. And that's the problem, is that their ball movement pulls everybody out of position if you're the opposition. And it's very, very hard to counter, because somebody's coming in behind you. Your first instinct is to go across to that person. Unfortunately, that leaves you vulnerable then in the centre, and they just exploited that time
and again. How many goals were from wide, the ball coming across? That was quite disappointing for Adelaide. They didn't have that left and right back compactness. You know, it's something that you can do. If you've got four across the back, you can just sit tight. And if they take it wide, well, you're there, but they weren't there. And they got exposed in very, very quick succession again and again and again.
And huge shout out to Mitch Nichols, who got two assists on the night and proved that he is becoming a better and better player every week of football.
Phenomenal.
And that is really annoying host of the Friday show, Christian Leyland, because as we all know, he's not the biggest fan of Nichols. And yet every week he has to admit he's getting better.
You've got to change your tune if you're Christian Leyland, because Mitch Nichols is playing phenomenal football. He's scoring goals, he's setting up goals, and he's looking every part that young up-and-coming player that we knew he was. Christian, if you're listening, it's time you just rationally looked at what he's doing and just went, yep, I was wrong. You know what infuriates me about Mitch Nichols is, after he does something good, there's a lag before the director kind of goes, okay, cross to Mitch Nichols. And Mitch Nichols is always there just reshaping the fro, just getting that blonde hair just falling just right. So when the camera crosses to him, Mitch Nichols is looking the part.
Someone who used to do that, Brett Stubman, but maybe he is the Brett Stubman of the league now.
Yeah. It's really interesting because let's have a look at Adelaide. They started, everybody said the way to defeat Brisbane is to score first.
Bye-bye.
Note to everybody else, that just kind of annoys them.
Didn't
that
work.
Really just annoys them. But that first 20 minutes, and as Sydney did, as Gold Coast did, is you press them. They press them high up. They put pressure on the ball. And as Pete mentioned, they probably should have got maybe one or two more to really put some pressure on. But the problem is you can only play that game for so long.
Mm.
And then they've got 70 minutes to get back at you. And boy, do they get back at them. And that's going to be one of the questions for lots of the other teams. Do they have the capacity to play that either the high pressure game or the soak up the pressure game for the full 90 minutes? And at the moment, nobody does. And Brisbane are just a supremely fit football team as well.
And what do you do after you've pressed them? That's the question. You've got to just be comfortable with the ball and know, you know, the extent of your abilities, know that you can move the ball left and right and there'll be someone there for you. And that's what Brisbane Roar are doing very well. You can play the high press game, but once you get that ball, you've got to own it. Otherwise, you're going to spend the next 3 or 4 minutes chasing it again, and then you can't keep doing that all game long.
Well, it's like Brisbane Roar, 5-year-olds going, "My ball, it's mine. Yeah. It's not yours," and they just keep taking it back.
Yeah,
and that was one of the impressive things. You know, it reached the 91st minute, and they were still pressing. They were still
They're going for their 8th goal in the 92nd minute, and they're like, "Oh, look, I'll just go for another one."
Yeah.
It's already 7-1.
Yeah, amazing.
It's so, moments like this, they need a mercy rule.
Yeah, Well, that's what we were talking about. What do we do? And Anne, you mentioned that you take the 3-0 forfeit because you just want to, you want to limit the damage.
Absolutely. Gold Coast United probably learnt that last week. They probably would have been better off not playing that game and save themselves for this week and take them 3-0. But in that regard, it does bring up the question is how now it's up to the coaches and it's up to the players to raise themselves to that level.
Mm.
Because that was one of the question marks. Could Brisbane do it again? But what it's proven is that Postecoglou's system is a supremely well thought out system. And it means that whoever he picks and his recruiting has to be applauded as well.
Mm.
And whoever is their scout has to be applauded as well those players have just come in and it's like they've been there for, 18 months.
And they're players from non-traditional places where you would look.
Albania.
I know.
Albanian international, a Bahraini center back. And a Canadian left winger.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the four corners of the world, but we knew a bit about Saeed Mohamed Adnan, but he hasn't had a run in. But Issy Nakajima Ferran, a guy who, we wouldn't know about, a Canadian international, the only Canadian international that I can remember, well, a guy who was from Canada originally, was Owen Hargreaves with his sort of whether he'd play for England, whether he'd play for Canada. We just don't know any of them else, any other of them, of the current crop anyway. But look, that was our view how you beat Brisbane Roar. Pete, on the Twitters, you threw it out to the fans last night. What are some of the responses that you got?
Well, I had a couple of people put in their suggestions. Some people suggested that you get Brisbane to fly Qantas. That way their flights will be cancelled and they won't actually make it to the games.
Yeah.
Didumch. We also had Dylan who suggested possession, which I'm not too sure whether or not that means taking the ball from Brisbane Roar and just holding on to it, or if it means trying to actually get Brisbane Roar's players possessed by demons. If so, they should look into hiring an exorcist.
Well, if it's Miron... Yeah. You never know.
He's into alternative solutions methods.
Well, my solution is always just turn down the difficulty from world class to just professional. It's slightly easier.
Yeah. And we could also go to Claudio Ranieri with his call being an alchemist. We had David Caran saying, he said he came in and be an alchemist. Well, they need an alchemist. They need a witch doctor and they need,
voodoo.
Yeah.
Voodoo. Yeah. I think we need voodoo.
Send John Safran across to South Africa again and
let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's organise it. Well, with the football sacks budget.
Yeah.
Well, one of the other things is in relation to Adelaide. Unfortunately, 7-1, it equals their largest defeat ever, which was in that grand final, 6-0 to Melbourne victory. So for Adelaide, lots of players came out on the tweet talking about how it wasn't good enough and they apologised to the fans that travelled across for the performance, all of that. And I do feel for Adelaide. They haven't got off to the best start at the beginning of the season, but I think it was always going to happen to one team to get smacked by Brisbane, and unfortunately it was Adelaide.
Let's talk about Besset Berisha for a bit, because he's a guy who's come in and just started scoring goals, and he absolutely loves it, doesn't he, Pete? I mean, he just lives for each day. I mean, he came out and he said on Twitter that he loved Massimo Madoka. Was it on Twitter or was it just in the media?
It was in the media, whereby he came out just saying that he loves Massimo Badocco.
Which is a funny one because Mass isn't, you know, a guy you have to endear yourself to at the Brisbane Roar. You know, sometimes we say big players in clubs you sort of come in and you endear yourself to, like Romelu Lukaku coming in at Chelsea and saying, you know, I love Didier Drogba. You know, it's just to come out and to ingratiate yourself into that club and that system. Well, Bessart Brescia's come out and just said, I love everybody.
Yeah, let's talk about some of his loves. So we've got Madocca at the moment.
Yeah.
This is the
theme song to Bessart Brescia's time at the Brisbane Roar.
Okay, so it's Massimo Madocca. And then he talks about how he loves everybody.
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 He just loves Brisbane. He loves football. He likes grass. He loves scoring goals, which he's done on a very regular basis.
And he loves the goalkeepers that let him score goals.
That's right. And I think he likes George Michael.
So love is all round. Love is all round.
That's a beautiful.
And this is a shout out to all the Brisbane Roar fans.
And especially Bessart Brescia, if you're listening. I love you too.
And it's just a careless whisper. Yeah, anyway, back to normal vocal tone.
Yeah. Let's look at the Mariners. The 2-1 victory against Perth Glory, the highly fancied Perth Glory, your team, man.
My team. Yeah. And it started off well. We got the first goal through Travis Dodd, and I thought, here we go again. And then the Mariners, as Graham Arnold said, the Mariners of old got on track and two goals just before halftime, and that was enough for them to shut up shop.
Well, that's Perth Glory for you. Last season, they had the exact same thing. They started off well in the first 3 weeks, and then by week four, they just hit a speed bump, and that set the tone for last season. Hopefully this year it isn't the exact same thing because Perth Glory do have Shane Smeltz.
We got Smeltz.
Liam Miller. They've got Billy Maiman up front. Yeah. Andre Zinho, who's playing some fantastic football with that left foot there.
Vukovic in goal, not Danny Vilappi. Vukovic,
yeah.
Not Vilappi.
And look, Perth Glory do have a really, really great squad. Mm. And I just hope that next week they can turn it around against Newcastle Jets. They are away at Ausgrid Stadium, but I just have faith. Mm. In Perth Glory. I know that they can do it this season.
Well, Perth are just chilling out on the East Coast for a bit, and it doesn't seem like such a bad away game anymore. For Perth to travel all the way to Sydney and then have to travel an hour up the highway, it's a place where they've never won at Blue Tongue Stadium, ever. So for them, they're hanging out on the East Coast. They're in camp. It'll galvanise them. Of course, the Jets have Gold Coast, and we'll get to that in a minute. Today, or on Sunday, which is the sack on Sunday, you may be listening to this on Tuesday, and it may not be today.
And if so, don't hold us responsible because we've guessed what the results are. if we are wrong, then keep it to yourself. Or absolutely. Tell us off on Twitter.
Tell us off on Twitter. And it's been happening a little bit with some Olympic fans. I got myself into a bit of trouble just talking about Souvlaki, and they took it wrong. So anyway, tell us how you feel on Twitter. We always welcome that. But yeah, Mariners, we were talking on a few podcasts ago whether you play Bernie Abini or whether you play Matt Simon, and Graham Arnold just went, yep, we'll play both of them and we'll beat Perth Glory.
Yeah, why not? Just put both on. Well, Bernie's haircut is the one of the worst around, and I think that kind of balances out by Matt Simon's horrible haircut as well. And those two together that too.
You can't do much about it.
Those two together. They look horrible, but they score goals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bernie took a leaf out of Lee Broxham's haircut book, just doing the Mohican. It looks a lot better on Bernie than it does on Lee Broxham.
My suggestion, the worse haircut that you have, the more goals you're going to score. How's that sound? Because Berisha's haircut, not that great. Mm. Yeah, he scored 4 on the weekend.
Yeah.
So if you spend a lot of time in your hair, say Shane Smeltz.
Pete Novakovsky.
Or myself, you're not going to score many goals.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But hang on. Smeltz, he scored 3.
Yeah. But he had the mullet. He had the mullet.
He's had the mullet.
The sports mullet. Yeah,
okay. If you get rid of the mullet, he might have scored 3 in one game.
Yeah, that's right.
See, the logic's there. Give it a go, A-League strikers.
In terms of the other game, a little bit of heartbreak for Melbourne Heart.
Yeah,
see
nice.
How I tuck that one
in.
Up against Sydney, and they led 1-0 up until the injury time, and Nick Cole, well, he snuck one home for Sydney, and that's the first time I think Sydney's shown some real spine in trying to get back into a game.
Yeah, look, they showed it last week. They came back from being 1-0 down at Hindmarsh and 1-2-1, and they came from behind this week, albeit in far less glorious circumstances. They played some horrible football. In fact, both sides did on a, what was a very wet and windy night at Amy Park. I think the conditions had a lot to say in that, but it was a hard game to watch. I was sitting there with my girlfriend going, this is our club. Get involved. And she's there going, oh, I'm a bit tired. And the game made me tired. It was a rough, rough, rough game.
It was, but I think that the biggest question here is, are there more bipolar fans than Sydney FC supporters? 2 seconds before that goal was scored, everyone's going, oh, crap, oh, Sydney's going to lose again. Mm. And the moment later, they're like, yes, Sydney scored!
Yeah.
I fully expected that. Yeah. So are there more bipolar fans than Sydney FC?
Yeah, when you see that with the attendance, I mean, you know, you win a few games, people start rocking up. Lose a few games, people don't show up. And it is disappointing. But look, that kind of response, it's great to see the passion there, that they wanted the win, that they were, you know, rooting for it, to use an American term. And then,
and the fact that they play for 92 minutes.
Yeah.
That proves the difference. Last season we saw Sydney FC only play for about 60 minutes,
and
maybe 70.
And they concede late, wouldn't they?
And they concede late. But this year, they're fighting till that final whistle, and that proved the difference.
And it was tough for Melbourne Heart, wasn't it, Anne? I mean, they showed signs that they could really beat the victory and should have beaten the victory, but they just had trouble scoring.
Scoring, yeah. That's the big one for them this season. Alex Terror has been really good for them, but he's got no real support up front.
Mm.
And that's something Mart Hart are going to have a look at. And Van Schipch is going to have to try and find a way of manufacturing some goals.
Yep.
For Sydney FC, I think one of the best things, apart from Emerson coming with the promotion, etc., I think it's been fantastic for Nick Carl, because it's taken a little bit of pressure off him, a little bit of attention off him, and I think he's blossomed because of that.
Yeah, totally. Nick Carl was trying to do it all himself last year. He wouldn't really pass the ball because he had no proper faith that he'd get it back and he'd get into an advanced position. But he's got guys like Antonis and Kissel and Emo running off him, and he's looking really comfortable. What Melbourne Heart will need and will hopefully get back in the next few weeks is Fred. And then with that,
you
should have some creativity. Alex Terror is always a live wire. Macon came on last night and scored a goal and looked good, but then I was watching it and kind of just the play acting really got to me. You know, there was a moment where towards the end, Beauchamp and he were running for a ball which went in behind, and, you know, they were tussling for it, and Maicon goes down and grabs his head, and then he goes off the pitch, and then 5 seconds later he's yelling at the ref, telling him to get back on. And it's just so disappointing. And I think he'll get found out in the A-League a fair bit. And
I think very soon, not just the opposition fans, I think his own fans will start telling him, you know, that's not how we play.
If we look at the A-League's character and standing worldwide, it's not known to others yet, but I believe that's what the A-League will be known for, a really tough, competitive action without the bullshit.
Almost a Scottish style of football.
But with more skill.
Yeah, exactly. That physicality in the play, but that little bit of that technical skill, which is put in by that South American influence as well as
and the Asian influence.
And the Asian influence now.
Yeah. I'd like to see that being promoted about the A-League. You know, it is a no-holds-barred competitive piece of action, but it's also fair, and you don't get that garbage that you get from some quarters, which is just very disappointing and honestly a blight on the game.
Well, let's turn our attention to the blue half of Melbourne, because they've got a big game today.
Yeah, they do. They do. They travel to Wellington, and they really need to get their season off.
Goals. Goals, there's lots more goals.
So many subplots to this game. We'll start off with Marco Rojas, who came from a competition which he won that was put on by the Yellow Fever to get a contract with
There's
a bloody sheep again.
Matt, I told you to put up a gate last week, and he didn't do it.
He didn't. He broke his toe, but he didn't put the fence up.
He can break his toe, but he can't put up a fence. That's Matt for
you. Bloody sheep out of there. But look, Marcos Rojas, he said he won't celebrate. He said he won't celebrate if he scores a goal against Wellington. I think that's a great sign. I also like the fact that Chris Greenacre is celebrating the fact that he gets to play on the same pitch as Harry Kewell, because he's a Leeds fan. So I love that. That's fantastic.
Well, that's another way of showing some love. Unfortunately, it's for the opposition this time.
Do we play the Careless Whisper again? But, a lot of subplots. Really, the focus is not going to be on Wellington. It's going to be on whether the Melbourne Victory can get their act together, whether, as Tony Tannis put it on Beyond the 90, whether the Rolls-Royce squad can go fast with the L-plate driver, or at least be handled well. And we were questioning it before the A-League season started on this podcast. I'd like to say that, you know, we saw it coming. It's not the fact that we're just Sydney people. And I really think that, I think they're going to show the Wellington football fraternity that they can play football today.
I think so as well. The likes of so much talent up front with Isaka Cernak and Archie Thompson and Harry Kuehl, those guys by themselves would be in the first team of any other A-League club. So for them to be playing together at Melbourne is just phenomenal. Wellington Phoenix, I have huge, huge faith in their side. Tony Warner in goals has just been phenomenal. Yeah. Former Tranmere Rovers keeper. Yep. And I would like to see him keep a clean sheet. I'm not too sure how possible that is, but it will be a great battle, that's for sure.
Cracking game, cracking game. And the final game of the round is going to be a James Brown gig.
Gold Coast. He feels good.
He scores ripper goals. James Brown's been on fire, and Ryan Griffiths at the other end should be something to watch as well.
I think the key for this, for the Jets, and this is the first game that Gary Van Egmond is in charge of Newcastle after returning back into the area. I think it will be interesting to see if we can see the Van Egmond stamp on the Jets. He's been away with the AIS and with the national system, and if there's anybody who's been indoctrinated into the FFA curriculum, it is Gary Van Egmond, because he's been looking after our youth. So it'll be interesting to see if he can translate that national curriculum into the Jet squad, or if it will remain as it did last year with Kalina. So that's going to be an interesting look over the next couple of weeks. Probably won't happen today. He's only had the week with them, but we'll see what kind of changes occur.
Well, of course, his last game was the grand final, which Mark Bridge scored and Newcastle Jets famously won. So it's lovely to see a little bit of continuity at the Jets. Obviously sad to see Branko go, but in terms of, you know, the narrative of the A-League and, you know, certain coaches being associated with certain cities, we're starting to see some culture of that, and great to see Van Egmond back at the helm at Newcastle Jets.
Big fan of Van Egmond. Had a chat for him, a little bit slightly alcohol-laden chat during the World Cup.
What, you or
me? No, I think it was both of us, actually, at the World Cup with his daughter, and just speaking to him about football and just his football philosophy, everything. It was just really, really impressive. And I think one of the great adverts of his football philosophy is watching his daughter Emily play, because she plays the game, I think, exactly as he exhibits the game. So it will be interesting to see what he does.
Brilliant. Well, we're going to move on to player tweets, and
mean we have to do our intro, which is player tweets. Excellent. Yeah.
And we've got Issy Nakajima Ferran, who's picked up 8 speeding tickets in his few weeks at the Brisbane Roar. What's going on?
So let's go through his tweet here. Never been in a country where speeding limits change every bloody kilometre, even on the highways. 8 tickets already under my belt. First 8 weeks in my life.
He's learning
some, 8 in my life.
Sorry. He's learning some Australian vernacular using bloody. It's good work from Issy, because he's a global man. He's got a bit of Japanese in him. He's Canadian, and he's adopting the Australian tongue as well with that. He's absolutely spot on about speed zones, though. They're out of control. I mean, I can understand it around schools, but then you go up the highway and it goes from 110 to 60. You know, when you pass through a town, it just gets a bit hard to know, and he's spot on. So,
but that's okay. We've just had a follow-up tweet by Issy saying, just applied for my Aussie license. My logic, speeding will get lost in the system. Problem solved. Beating the system in process.
How did he drive without a license?
International license.
Okay, all right. So I thought he was, you know, busting the rules open and boasting on Twitter.
Not really.
Cool. All right. Well, that was a bit of our player tweets.
Excellent. Yeah.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
I love that, Sting. It is so good. I just dance. The hips start moving. The hands come out.
Do the robot.
Do the robot. A bit of Peter Crouch action. but we're going to move on to a bit of W League action. And there's been some big games overnight. We had Canberra United winning 3-2. And we also had Sydney FC beating Melbourne Victory in the Big Blue, which was a big blue, wasn't it, Anne?
It was a big blue. It started off with Sydney FC probably dominating as we expected. They've been one of the form teams over the W League's run. And then Melbourne saw slowly work their way into the game. They couldn't get the goal back. Sydney took the lead in the 9th minute with a well-worked corner between Megan Rapinoe, Renee Rollinson. Rapinoe, Renee Rollison, and then finally Kylie Redbrook, who chipped the keeper, and Brianna Davey, who had a fantastic game and really did keep Melbourne in that game for long stretches. They couldn't quite get back the equaliser, but in the second half, they just came out, were a lot more physical. And I spoke with Jodie Taylor after game, the Melbourne captain, and she said that was one of their concerted efforts, was not to be scared of Sydney, not to give them too much respect, and they didn't. And in that second half, really, they had two or three really good chances to go ahead in that game. But unfortunately, Rapinoe finished off her two-game stint with Sydney FC with a goal, and she was very, very excited about it all. And she'd been threatening all game. She hit the crossbar from about 40 yards out. Fantastic strike. And Brianna Davey was beaten all ends up. But in the end, she got that goal, and Sydney got the win.
It got to that point whereby Megan Rapinoe was trying so hard to get that goal that she almost didn't get it. Hitting the post three times in that game, like Anne was there saying. But she proves the difference, and it's going to be a huge loss for Sydney FC now. We have a lot of people asking, can she come back to Australia? Can she play for Sydney again? We are told she is coming back here in Christmas time, but as Caitlin Ford has said, she won't be playing in the sky blue jersey, even though Caitlin will be trying her best to make sure that she does.
Yeah, no, she won't be playing. She's got US commitments. The USA Women's National Team are preparing for the Olympic Games qualifiers. They kick off in January for them. So she's going back for a training camp, and then she'll go across for that. But she's been fantastic for the league, not only in terms of her play and her level of play, but she's brought a real promotion and awareness to the league in the States. And I've had lots of people tweeting me and emailing me wanting to know how she's going, and with a real interest in the W League as well. So she's been fantastic, and it was great to have her, and hopefully that will open the door to a lot more higher profile US women's players coming across in their off season.
There's a lot of interest about Megan Rapinoe happening over in America. I know I'm getting a lot of interest from American tweeters and Facebookers when I'm doing my commentary at games. And so a lot of people are getting more and more interested in the W League and more involved. I know the likes of Peter Wilk, who is known for setting up a lot of clubs over in America, keeps saying, yes, she's my girl. I'll look after her. I know her very well. And a lot of people are saying, don't touch my Pino. She's mine. She's coming back to America.
Yeah. Somebody called out during the game, stay for another 2 weeks. I put that on Twitter, and I had lots of hell no. She's coming back to the States.
Hell no.
That's what we had a lot of. But it was a really good game. And the other good game, as Michael mentioned, was Canberra up against Perth. That finished 3-2 with Michelle Heyman, a hat trick. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen Michelle Heyman. I'm pretty sure you have. She's a tall girl. She's a solid girl. She doesn't look super quick. She actually looks like she's more about strength. I spoke to Tom Samani yesterday, and he told me that she is the second fastest player in the W League.
Which is pretty phenomenal.
Which is unbelievable.
She looks pretty stocky and a bit of a nugget.
She doesn't look like she'd be super quick, but she, behind Devanna, and then after that is Caitlin Ford. But she's the second fastest player.
I think it's got to do with the fact that she's got these blonde streaks in her hair that always makes you run faster. It's like playing Gran Turismo when you were younger. Yellow cars always made you drive faster. Her hair, it's blonde, and she's racing off.
Well, she's super. She's such a fantastic player. A hat-trick to her. And she's one of those players that is the reason why we've got the W League, because she was somebody who would have been lost to the system. She was playing in the New South Wales Premier League, and she was just getting frustrated. She'd had one season with Sydney, hardly any game time, and she was really just going to call it quits after that.
And another player who's doing fantastically, Lisa Devanna, who got a double for Newcastle Jets, as well as setting up the goal for Linda O'Neill in that 3-0 thumping of Adelaide. And that was another fantastic result for Newcastle Jets and Lisa Devanna.
Jets are going to be guns. They're going to be fantastic this season. And they've already started to click. And they've got lots of young players, and Emily Van Egmond, Linda O'Neill, Nicola Bolger, Tara Andrews, all these young Matildas. And then add to that the experience of German Ariane Hengst, Lisa Devanna, and Barbieri in goals. They're just going to be fantastic. And next week, that sets up a fantastic match between Brisbane Roar up against the Newcastle Jets. So that's going to be a big one. Also next week will be Sydney up against Canberra, another great match, and Perth will be taking on Adelaide. So some great W League games in there.
That's a great wrap up. And if you want to get a bit more of that, you can get onto the W League podcast that you host, Anne. Tell us a bit of information about that.
Yeah, Danielle Warby and I are doing a W League podcast, and we are gonna have a look at the W League. We're going to review it, but we're also going to have a talk about some issues in women's football. One of those issues we're going to have a chat about is in terms of marketing of women's football. So we're going to chat to somebody from the US and talk about how their women's national team and their women's league is marketed across there and what we can try and do in WA.
So we'll post links to that on our Facebook page and on our Twitter feed, so that way you guys can actually tune in and listen to it. Hopefully you'll be getting the same international followers that we do at the moment. We've got people in Saudi Arabia, Thailand, Japan, Germany, Denmark, all across the globe tuning into the Football Sack podcast, which
isn't
is kind of cool.
Isn't that great?
Hopefully you'll get the same interest for the W Leagues podcast.
If you had an AFL podcast, you would get someone from, what's that, Iceland over there? Scandinavia?
A bit of Denmark over there.
You would not get that interest in an AFL game. International rules test, go away. It is absolute rubbish. But
anyway, look, that's jumping into the National Youth League for a split sec here. Sydney FC thumped Melbourne Heart 5-1 with a hat-trick to Mitchell Malia. Gold Coast went down 3-2 to Newcastle Jets, so Jets continuing some great form there. And Adelaide, who might not have won in the women's or in the first team, but their youth league getting a 3-1 win over the not-so-invincible Brisbane Roar.
Well, someone had to win from Adelaide this weekend, and that was them. And this has been us, and we are the Sack on Sunday podcast. Thank you very much, Supernova Pete.
No worries. Happy to always be here.
And Anne O'Dong.
Lovely. Loved it.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's all we've got time for. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy your games. And we'll catch you next time.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.